Morning, everybody. I would ask you to open your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to work through there a little bit today. I thought about entitling the sermon today, Just a Thought, because the sermon is going to be about our thoughts. And so, you know, you try to come up with some catchy thing, because what we have in the world going on today, as Joe was just sitting here talking about, you know, it was bringing everything together. We deal with a lot of things in the world today, and especially, like Joe said, asked you guys, what do you expect out of us, meaning Jonathan, Joe, Ken, and myself, as far as pastors? What should our lives reflect? Should we be peculiar? Should we look different? And I often think about that, because I absolutely believe that. I believe we should look different. I believe that you guys should be able to look at our lives and look at us and say, they definitely are living for Christ. But honestly, I think that everyone who calls themselves a Christian and takes on the name of Christ should be different. There's no doubt about that. We're all called to look different. We're all called to a higher standard in the world, right? And so this thing that we deal with in the world today, as far as the church is concerned, there are so many different variables that are at play. And the variables seem to entice us to go one way or another. And I'll say that like this. A few weeks ago, I heard someone say, you know, they'd like to, you know, I'd like to hear this kind of music, or I like the worship service over here, and I like this and I like that. What we're really saying when we say that is it becomes about us. It's what I like. And I always encourage somebody, they come to me and say, Pastor, I'm going to leave the church, and I hope you'd tell me why, but if it's just because you like something better someplace else, I always say, listen, I'm all about making sure the Holy Spirit is moving wherever you're at. The word is being preached and the Holy Spirit is moving. Everything else, then, you might not like it. And that's the funny thing about that. When the Holy Spirit moves in our lives, we might not like it. Because the Holy Spirit does what to us? What did Jesus promise he's going to do? He's going to bring about conviction. And we don't like that. And so I'd always say, listen, I want you to be encouraged to understand it's not about what you like. It's about what God is saying. How God is directing and leading and guiding. No one is perfect, and I'm not saying anyone's perfect. But all I want to say is that when we look at what we like and what that means, we're going to talk about that, because we talk about our thoughts versus God's thoughts. And how does that work? And how does he move? Again, that's what we're talking about in Sunday school. As God is working on building his church through Acts, how many things do you think they went through they didn't like? How many things? They were living in the same grace period that we are now, different time, 2,000 years ago, but it was after the ascension of Jesus. The Holy Spirit had fallen upon them. And here the church is growing through what? Through persecution, through problems, through struggles, through trials. If you would go back to that 2,000 years ago and that date and that time, every place those people walked in, they experienced problems and struggles. Here we had this opportunity this morning. We were talking about Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4. We see God do this wonderful miracle through Peter and John. They're walking up to the temple to pray, and there's this guy that's been lame for years, since birth. He's there, he's begging for alms, begging for money. He wants money. And Peter and John walk up, and you think, oh, you know, they're first in the kingdom of God here. These are people called of Jesus. So they're probably what? Listen, they tell him, listen, I don't have any silver or gold. I don't have any money for you, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. There's power in the name of Jesus. I hope you all understand that. I hope you all are taking that into account and saying, you know what? My life isn't just on Sunday in the name of Jesus. My life is to be lived out in the name of Jesus on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as well. If I am to be a Christian, my thoughts, I need to take these thoughts. And what are we told to do with our thoughts? Take them captive to the obedience of Christ. Right? God gives us direction even about our thoughts, because that becomes the struggle. We're going to talk a little bit in Matthew chapter 15 as well, talking about the understanding that what comes out of the mouth of the man. As Joe was just sitting here talking about this, I'm thinking, I'm going to talk about that today, Joe. That's awesome. The Holy Spirit is really laying it on us today. For what reason? So that he can be glorified in our lives. So he can make sure that we're hearing this today. He obviously wants us to hear something today about ourselves, each one of us. Because Jesus says, hey, it's not what goes into the mouth of a man that defiles him. What does he say? It's what comes out, because that comes out from the heart. In other words, our thoughts and everything that's going on comes out. What a story that was about a golf ball that hit you and how you respond to being hurt physically in a moment of time, right? How do you respond in a moment of time when you're physically hurt? right? I'm not saying we're all perfect, but those are things that we have to work on. Because to be Christ-like means something different. It means we should look different. We should respond differently. And we have to do better with that. There's no doubt about it. Every one of us. I don't care how good you are at it now. We've got to continue to work on those things. Because to be Christ-like sets a standard in our lives. Not just for us, but for our spouses, for people around us, for people in the workplace, for people we got in the community with. We are setting a standard. We as Christians should set the standard. When our founding fathers found this country and everything they did, one of the first things they did when the first act of Congress was to go and do what? Pray. So when people tell you, oh, they weren't a religious people, go and study real history. Don't just listen to what someone's telling you. Go and look it up for yourself. Really look in deep, because you're going to find out a lot of those people believe in Jesus. And they want that to reflect what? In the model of our country, the founding of our nation, forming a whole nation today is found on the principles that you find in the Bible. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't do some of these things that the Bible shows us to do, right? Honor the Lord as your God. These things that we have that are given to us, and some of them we've thrown out. We don't worry about this one anymore. We don't worry about this one anymore, right? It seems like we only worry about the ones that affect us. Well, yeah, you shouldn't murder somebody. You shouldn't take someone else's life, because I don't want someone taking my life. We make it about us. We have to have a kingdom mindset. And God's thoughts are all about kingdom mindset. And His Spirit, when it works in our lives, whenever we walk with the Spirit and we're walking by the Spirit and in the Spirit, which is what we're called to do. This isn't just someone telling us to do. This is God Himself saying, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. If we do that, guess what? He says, we'll be following the path of righteousness. We won't have to worry about, we talk about this, we've talked about this now for, I feel like, the last 6 months. This broad path that leads to destruction and the narrow path is Christ. I am the way and the truth and the life. If we're just walking with Jesus and walking by the Spirit, we're not going to take the missteps because we're going to be walking with Him. But that requires intentionality from us. That means whenever we get up in the morning, we're praying, we're in the Word, we're fellowshipping with other believers, we're doing these things to do what? For the kingdom mindset, so that we can glorify God. It's not about us. It's not about what we like or don't like. It's about, is the Spirit of God moving in my life? Is the Spirit of God moving in the church that I'm attending? Is the Spirit of God moving in the community? Am I a part of that? Am I hindering that? Or am I aiding in that? What does that look like? And it begins with our thoughts. I know, and I can't think of her name right now, Joyce Meyer. She wrote a book called The Battlefield of the Mind, right? You think about this battlefield of the mind. And I know each one of us sitting here today, when those words are spoken, we all know that. There's a battle. It's a battle. The things we think, the things we want to do, the things we know we shouldn't do, it's in there. It's a battle. It's a battle. It's a struggle. But we're not left without power, right? When Jesus left His disciples, He said, I will not leave you alone as orphans, but I will send the Holy Spirit into your lives to lead you, to guide you, to bring to remembrance my words, to bring conviction, so that you can continue to walk in my paths. And if you fail, if you stumble, guess what? There's an advocate with God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, who is there for us. God has not left us alone. He has not left us powerless. We're not powerless to our own thoughts and whims. That excuse that's used, well, you know what, I couldn't help it. Or, you know, another thing that happens in life today, people say, well, the devil made me do it. Did the devil make Jesus do it? What name do we bear? Okay. We don't have to follow the whims of the devil. The devil doesn't have more power than God. Don't forget, he was a created being. He's not as powerful as God, but evil. He is a defeated foe. Make sure you understand that in your life. He's a defeated foe. We don't have to follow these whims and these desires, but they start in our minds. They start in our hearts, and they start at what the Bible calls our heart. And so this thing that gets born out of this, and how are we supposed to handle this, and how did God lead us and guide us? Well, let's go back into Isaiah 55, and I want to start at verse 6. And this is Isaiah the prophet, and he says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. I want to stop there for a moment in time, because I want us to understand that just like we read in Luke, And I know Pastor Joe spoke about Luke a little bit too, but in Luke also, I told you guys last week about the parable of the fig tree that was in the vineyard. There was a certain time that's available to us. There's a certain time that's available for us to repent and be saved. Not all of us are just going to be saved just because Jesus came and died on the cross 2,000 years ago and we just live life however we want to. In fact, that's exactly what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks against that kind of living. The Bible says, don't follow your own whims and desires. You need to be obedient to God. Be obedient to Jesus, who came and gave his life for you. Right? There is a time frame. There is a limited time. Seek God while he may still be found. We have a limited time here. Now, don't get me wrong. It's up to our last breath. But can anyone tell me when that is? If I came to each one of you and said, oh, yeah, I'm going to live to be 85 and a half. You know that for sure? None of us knows. And that should be something that puts us to a degree of urgency in our lives. We don't know when that's going to be. We don't know. It's uncertain. What we are certain about is Jesus has offered us eternal life through his life, by his blood. And we have this life to be able to respond right now. Paul talks about this in several places in Scripture. This place is a testing or a proving ground. Are we really going to live like Christians? Let me ask you guys something. And I brought this up before, so maybe you remember this, maybe you don't. If somebody came knocking on your door, a stranger that you didn't know, would you just let them into your house and use all your stuff and stay overnight? And you got these young kids, and would you just, you're just okay with that? Or how about somebody knocks on the door, a friend that you've had for years, and you're like, hey, I need a hand, I need help. Sure, come on. You see the difference? To be known of God is to be found in Jesus. Do we understand that? To be known of God is to be found in Jesus. And to be found in Jesus means we have to repent and we have to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There are actions that have to happen, right? There are ways these things have to work. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He is near today. Don't misunderstand that. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's the day. We're told in Scripture, today, do not harden your hearts. Open your hearts up to the Lord. Don't let another day go by because you're not promised tomorrow. We don't know. We talked about just in a prayer request this morning of just the ones that were mentioned, 4 or 5 different surgeries that are upcoming within the next week or so. Anything can go wrong in these situations, right? We don't know. But here we are with the opportunity to seek God and to trust in the Lord with whatever happens. And guess what? If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I say it like this, and I know some people be like, I can't believe you'd say that when people are getting ready to go into surgery. We have to have a different viewpoint, guys. To carry the name of Christ means we don't look at it from the world's standard. We look at it from God's position. That if we don't make it off the operating table, it's victory. It's victory. You don't have to worry about voting in the next presidential election. There, we're awake. Okay. You don't have to worry about those things. Because you know what? If you're a Christian and you die on the operating table, where are you? You're in eternal glory. You're not worried about anything else. You're worshiping God in eternal glory forever. That's God's perspective. He talks about that in Psalm 116, verse 15. God delights in the death of his holy ones. That's amazing. And we read that verse and people are like, I can't believe that would even be in there. It's because God has a different perspective on this life than we do. He looks at it from the eternal perspective. Through his son, Jesus. We look at it from this whole thing like, man, death just means negative all the time. It doesn't. In fact, if we don't die, we don't get to heaven, right? It has to end here. It has to end here for us to be there. But this here is a testing or a proving ground. Are we calling upon the name of the Lord? Are we living in the name of the Lord? Are we walking this life as though we can be called Christians? There's a gentleman who just passed away back in Brookville not too long ago. His name is Randy Alderton. When we went to Brookville Church of God, I went with his son and his family. And Randy, he was a butcher in Brookville there. He actually had a butcher shop right across from my in-law's house. And I talked to Randy quite a bit. And he said, you know, I hope that whenever I die, people will be able to say, yep, he was a Christian. I hope that's what they'll be able to say about me. They'll know that I have enough proof in my life that people say, definitely, that man was a Christian man. And we talked about that. What does that mean, Randy? We had conversations. We'd sit down and chat. You know, I know old Mr. Cooper there calls me Wendy. I talk a lot, so I've had lots of long conversations with people. And we came to this understanding that it's not just about being nice to people, and that's wonderful. But there's a lot of people who don't know Jesus who are nice to people. It's that our life reflects the life of Jesus. That when we go through the pain, we go through the suffering, which we're all going to go through, that we respond differently. That it looks different. That it looks different. That when things go well for us and we give praise, we're not just happy about, look at what I did, but we're giving God the praise and glory. Right? Oh man, look how good it went for me. No. Praise God. It should be different in good times and in bad. We should look different. We should respond differently. Obviously, things that we all have to work on, there's no doubt about it, but we need to start having that intentional mindset. We're starting to get down to the nitty-gritty here, church. We've talked about these things from a broad perspective for the last 10 years. Here we are now whittling this down. What does this really look like in my life? Am I really questioning these things in my life, or am I just throwing them off to the side? We have to be intentional about those questions and amongst ourselves, just individually. How am I responding? If I didn't respond well, does that mean, oh man, it's all over? No. We have an opportunity while we're still here to continue to grow in that. But we have to continue to grow. Call upon him while he is near. Don't forget that he is near today. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There's talking about the unrighteous man and his thoughts. And what we have to do is come back to the Lord and bring those back to the Lord, which ties back in with 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, about taking our thoughts captive to Jesus. This is actually to the obedience of Christ. To the obedience of Christ. And we use that word time and again because the Bible's using that word. And it's giving us this understanding of obeying this God and Father in heaven. You know, we talk about this. I have kids. I'm a father. And I want my kids to obey me. But I want to give them direction and instruction to obey that is good instruction and good direction. I want to give them as much as I can so they can understand it, so they can do it, whatever I give them to do correctly, right? Our God and Father is much more abundantly equipped than I ever will be, right? So he's already given us all of these things, these opportunities and these tools to work with, to live this life according to a way of righteousness that he calls us to, that he set up, that he has created through his son Jesus in a wicked and perverse generation, a world that is evil. Don't forget, church, if you are in Christ, you are living in a world that is against you. In the spiritual realm, Ephesians chapter 6, that's where the battle's at. But don't misunderstand that there are people who are not following the Lord, who are following spirits of evil, and it is against us as Christians, which means it's going to be harder to live this life in an appropriate way because we have some of those people we call friends and family, and we don't want to hurt feelings. And that's difficult because we love them. And if you truly love each other, what does Jesus say? If you truly love each other, you'll share the truth. You'll share the truth. And the truth stings sometimes, but we have to be able to share the truth. I was talking with someone this morning. I actually heard a pastor a few months ago talking about this. There was a panel of pastors, and the congregation was able to ask some questions to them. And one of the questions that was asked to a pastor is, I have a family member who is a homosexual, going to be having a homosexual wedding. Should I go and attend that wedding? And he steps up and he delivers this message of understanding. And I think we should share these things. We have to understand these thoughts. He says, you might not be officiating that ceremony, you might not be, but everyone who's there is a witness to something you are saying is a covenant of God in a marriage. So would you agree that that is a covenant of God? And if you are there to be a witness in that, you are now affirming that. How do you stand before the Lord and say that you're witnessed and affirm that? Well, we'd all sit here and say, well, I can't. But let me tell you something. The person whose marriage, it was, that's not a marriage, we know that. The person whose union that was that day was very hurt that this other family member didn't go to that. They were hurt. Sometimes you have to stand up for what you believe in, and that standing up will bring hurt to people you love. But the intent wasn't to hurt the person, was it? Do you see the difference? The intent wasn't to hurt the person, but to stand up for the ways of God. And we stand up for the ways of God, sometimes things are going to happen. But we have to stand up for the ways of God. But we better make sure it's for the ways of God. We better make sure it's the ways of God because our thoughts are not God's thoughts. He talks about this in verse 8. For my thoughts, this is God, are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God's thoughts come from the place of origin. He is the original. He is the grand master. He is the great sovereign God. He has all wisdom and all knowledge. He has, everything he's given is from him to us. So, of course, his ways are higher than our ways. It ties back in a little bit to Isaiah 43. God talks about this. He says, travel on the highway. He's not talking about a highway with a bunch of cars. He's talking about a higher way. Live life to a higher degree, to a higher standard. And again, this is Isaiah speaking to these people. Because guess what? We're told in Peter, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, waiting for someone to devour. Don't misunderstand that when we give up the highway of God, we're trying to go down and battle the enemy on our own. And we never can win that battle. We never can win that battle. That's why in the Old Testament, they would go and they take the animal sacrifice, the blood of the perfect lamb that they had, as far as perfect goes in animals, and they would sacrifice that every year. Every year. Why? Because they could not do it alone the rest of the year. There was going to be sin in the camp, and they had to come and reatone for that sin with the blood of the animal every single year. Why don't we do it today? Because the blood of the perfect lamb has been shed for us. The blood of the perfect lamb has been shed for us. We no longer have to do that because God has sent his son, his lamb, into this world for us. And we can never deny that. And that's part of his thoughts and his ways and what he has provided for us as mere human beings. We could never do this on our own. This is something only God could do for us, and we have to respond to what he has done for us. Just like we expect our children to respond to us. Here, you know, I've given you this, I've tried to do this. Now I want you to respond appropriately, right? Paul talks about this. I'm speaking in human terms so that we can better understand this. God gave us to be able to visualize these things. That's why in the Bible, Paul talks about the marriage, that the body of Christ is actually the bride of Christ. And how Jesus saved us. He's washed his bride by the cleansing of the word. Gentlemen, understand that because our responsibility for our wives is to share and be the spiritual leaders of our households, for our wives and for our children. Don't misunderstand that. Go into 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and look it up. We have these opportunities, responsibilities that are given to us from God himself, the perfect God in heaven. As we walk and look down through this, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And they have to be for us to experience salvation, for us to experience a life with Jesus. It has to be. Because we're mere creation. He is creator. He has set this up. He has the perfect ways. I guess we can bring it to another way too. And I was thinking about this earlier this week. Imagine every year for a farmer, he goes out and he plants his crops. He plants corn, corn grows. Plants soybeans, soybeans grow. Plants wheat, wheat grows. Imagine you go out there and you plant wheat in the field, next thing you know, it's corn. That doesn't make any sense. Imagine you plant soybeans and it's wheat. Like, what's happening here? Sounds chaotic and crazy, doesn't it? Look at the world around us. That's what's happening. That's what's happening. God has created all this. He has an order for it. It's all out of whack. Because people walked away from the Word of God. They've walked away from God himself, the God who has created every single human being and loves every single human being and is calling us back to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. Calling us back. How are we to respond? We respond by understanding that his ways are higher than our ways. And even though we might not understand it in that moment of time, if we are obedient in those situations, we are going to be pleasing to God. Who here wants to be pleasing to God? Who here wants to help or hear, well done, good and faithful servant? All of us. So what does that mean if we are a servant of the kingdom, that we are to serve him and serve his kingdom? We have to be obedient in that. He's called us to this. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts versus our unrighteous thoughts, which are here in verse 7. The unrighteous man, his thoughts. Let's forsake those things. In other words, put those things away, it says. Forget the deeds that we used to do. Now, in Christ Jesus, we are found to be doing different deeds. We are found to be thinking a different way. We are found to be responding differently in a way that, like Pastor Joe said, is peculiar to other people. Like, well, that's weird that they would respond that way. That's kind of different. Why would they respond that way? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, that's how we should be able to respond. Not by our own power, but by His power, by His victory, by His might we are saved, that we are victorious, not by our own. You can go back many places in Scripture and see this, even militarily, how these people would come, all of Israel, through King Jehoshaphat, the one I can remember, 2 Chronicles 20. It talks about this situation where Jehoshaphat realizes this army's coming against them, and they're in trouble. It's a large army. I believe it's the Assyrian army. They're in trouble. They're like, oh boy, we're in trouble. He calls the nation together. He calls everyone together and says, listen, let's pray and fast. We have to pray and fast before we go face these guys. Let's pray and fast. And God responds to him in that situation. Because you've done this, because you've called your people back to me for a physical task at hand, don't worry about it. You won't even have to fight the battle. Who remembers what they walk up on when they walk up on that army? They're all dead. It's all gone. There's just stuff to take. There, the plunder's yours. In our spiritual lives, when we'll give our lives to God, there's going to be hard times. There's going to be things that we're going to look at a big thing in front of us and say, I can't handle this. We don't have to handle it on our own, but what we do have to do is go to the Lord. The Lord fights for us. Be still and know that I am God. It doesn't mean don't do anything. It says take a step for a minute and let's think about this. Who do you serve? Whose are you? Where do you stand in this? Who do you have a relationship with? You know, it's when you go to get a job nowadays, you talk to these kids, and it's kind of been this way for years. Like, not what you know, it's who you know. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, do you believe He'll provide for you? Do you believe He'll take care of you? Do you believe He has the best for His glory in mind? Then what are we afraid of following that? Why do we look at the things that are in front of us, these mountains, and say, man, I can't do it? And Jesus says, listen, these mountains are going to be leveled. It won't mean anything. When they leveled the temple in Jerusalem, they were like, oh my goodness, guess what? When they leveled the temple, that made it much easier for us to understand. It's not about the building. It's not about the building. It's about the relationship that we get to carry on each and every day with Jesus. This God who came to save us, came here on this earth to live this life as a human being, to show us how this can be done. To be Christ-like, to take on that name, to bear that name. We recognize His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And that's a great thing, that we have a God that cares enough about us to let us know that even. He didn't have to tell us this, but here He tells us through the prophet Isaiah. And Jesus, again, tells us back, and when you look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, I'm going to jump there real quickly. I'm going to read through that a little bit. I'm actually going to start at verse 15. Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. Jesus said, are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. See, these people were having a hard time understanding this too. In their culture, you had to wash before you ate. If you didn't, man, there was something, you were unclean. All these things were problems. And Jesus is saying, listen, I came to show you the reality of a spiritual cleanliness. And that's only found in me. And what should happen is whenever Jesus dwells within us and the Holy Spirit speaks to us, those convictions are the things that He wants to get out of us so that we don't respond in those ways that we would normally respond in. We should be changed. Anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. Is a new creature. The old things have passed. New things have come. Maybe you're sitting there going, well, Pastor, you say that, but I'm saved, and boy, I'm still fighting with these things. Listen, you're still living in the flesh. You're going to fight things in this world. It is a battle. Don't wake up tomorrow morning and be mistaken, being like, boy, I thought everything would be perfect. It's not going to be. We're living in an evil world. I just had someone this morning ask me, they said, I was witnessing to somebody, and they asked me the question, well, if God is so good, why do babies die? That's a tough one to answer whenever you're a new believer, going, oh, boy, I don't know how to answer that one, right? That's tough. The reality is we live in an evil world. Bad things are going to happen. To say that means that God also makes the person who raped somebody, He made them do that so that He can be. That's not true either. God allows us to have free will, and there's evil world, there's disease, there's problems. All these things are here, but we have to glorify God. We as Christians have to walk through this world as a Christian, understanding His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and looking at it from that perspective. And Jesus here is telling the disciples, listen, these things that, whenever they come out of your mouth, where's your heart at? That'll show you where your heart is. How do you respond? How do you speak? Where's your heart? John Christ, if you ever listen to him, he's a comedian. He talks about that stuff. He's like, check your heart, bro. Check your heart. Where's your heart? As the praise team comes back up to lead us in song, where's your heart? When I say that, what I mean is, where is your relationship with Jesus? Because he will help us with these, when these thoughts come in, when these things come in, we have to deal with something. He is there to give us, provide us strength to help us through every step of the way. He's not a God who is far off and not a part of our lives. He is a God who is here and loves us. So where is your heart today? Where are your thoughts today? And if you're thinking about somebody else, I want you to stop that. I want you to think about yourself. Because a lot of times I've heard pastors speak about this. It's like someone will come out of service, well, forget about that person. You. Where are you today? Don't worry about someone else. We can't control another person in our lives. I can't, even though I'm a father over my kids, trust me, I can't control them. Anybody here ever know how to control your kids perfectly? Here we are. How am I doing today? As we sing these songs, we think about this. Remember, his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts for a great reason, because he's calling us back to a higher place. How are they today? How are you today? Come as we sing.